God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. God spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home is in the new heaven, the new earth with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. You know, when you do a new radio program, you are, at least I am, I'm always waiting to get comfortable with it. And been so, the AFR team, the family, that's you, has been so welcoming. And I've just finally, I think, reached a point where I understand what God wants for me. It came earlier this week where I just sometimes am, frankly, I should be paying you because I'm doing a little bit of Christian therapy on myself. And this morning in my discipleship group, meeting with a group of really godly men, all of us working to be more holy, I asked the question of what is the top story to God? He is omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's self-existent, self-created, if he was ever created. Such a mystery, always been there, always will be. There's never been a time where he wasn't. And so he sees all, obviously. So he doesn't need news. There is news. There may be a Speaker of the House with the Republicans. His name is Mike Johnson. He's got a 74 out of 100 conservative voting score from Conservative Review, which has a pretty good liberty index. My friend, I haven't spoken with him in a long while, but he's a good man. Eric Erickson ran Red State. He is a pastor, national radio host in his own right. Eric said, reporters are upset that Mike Johnson supported a legal strategy to overturn the 2020 election and cast doubts in the veracity of the results. Meanwhile, the New York Times has hired a reporter who supported Hitler's final solution, and the AP won't call Hamas a terrorist group. Multiple news outlets have repeatedly pushed Hamas propaganda and talking points. Now, Eric doesn't agree that the election was stolen. I think it was. I know it was rigged. We disagree on that front, but not on how they're treating Mike Johnson. Is that God's top story? I don't think so. God's probably looking at that saying, render unto Caesar. I'm guessing based off of biblical modeling, and I don't mean to reduce God to someone who reads the newspaper. Heaven forbid. He doesn't, and he doesn't need to. He knows the ending. Incidentally, I read ahead, and of course we win if you read ahead in the end of the Bible. So maybe it's this. Maybe it is what's coming out of the mouth of the man who is in the White House, in my judgment, through a violence. In a rigged election with violence to help along the rigging. Figurehead Biden, who's putting people in prison for making internet memes, says we need to put aside our divisions.
I know we have our divisions at home. We have to get past them. We can't let petty, partisan, angry politics get in the way of our responsibilities as a great nation.
Right now, the responsibility of this great nation is to rush into war. I don't know that that's God's top story, but that's what we're told. We're building up quite the armada of our men and women on ships across from Israel. The Chinese are doing the same, Chinese Communist Party. Iran is loading up. This time around, it looks to me like we're going to have another world war. And God could turn to his eternal whiteboard and say, hey, remember, I drew this out for you. Wars and rumors of wars. So I don't know that that's the top story. Biden speaking for an end to division, a man through whom families are being destroyed with gender ideology, children are being destroyed through abortion, God's word is being attacked through teaching kids to hate their neighbor. Is that the top story? I think the Lord told us that in end times that good will be called evil and evil will be called good. I don't think that God is going to look at that and say, yeah, that's the top story. And again, for a being who's so enormous that we can only imagine him through his works and through what we can see, but none of us, I don't think any of us can really see. There's people who say they've seen. I just wrapped up an interview with a guy named Jason Paymer. He is a producer of a new film called After Death. He's produced a lot of great films. He is clearly led by the Holy Spirit. And he is telling a story in this movie, After Death, which opens on Friday, of survivors of near-death experiences who went to the light and some who went to the dark. They back it up with scientific rigor, like I've never seen in a film like this. That gave me a hint for what I think may be God's top story today. On the topic of political division, of course, Biden gave his famous satanic speech. I'm sure you remember that, where we were regaled with the figurehead, speaking from what can only be described. I'm sorry, the color scheme was pure Nazism. The camera staging was pure Nazism, or if we choose to be maybe less stringent, pure Orwell. The speech, of course, was about good and evil, and Biden pretending to be on the side of good. Perhaps he thinks he is. I doubt that very much. I think his soul is crying out, knowing it's in jeopardy. On the topic of division, one of the figurehead's comrades, a Minneapolis city council candidate named Zach Metzger, posted this video justifying his actions in blocking a highway and terrorizing a senior citizen at a pro-Hamas protest because the man tried to defend himself with a knife after his car was mobbed.
I released a video yesterday of an old man driving through a peaceful protest. The man gets out of his vehicle with a knife. Attacking people that are using their First Amendment right to stand with Palestine, the protesters were shocked and tried to push him back into his car so that they would not be hurt, which is when the man literally drives through hundreds of peaceful protesters. The video I took takes place seconds after the man drove through the crowd, in which you can see people chasing after him, and you can hear me saying, wait, as well as countless other people screaming in fear.
Just drove through all these people.
Since I released the video less than 24 hours ago, I have received over 500 hate-filled emails, as well as multiple death threats. This is what happens when you stand against injustice, and we cannot be scared into hiding. We cannot allow those so filled with hate to scare us from standing for what we know is right. Free Palestine.
That's a city council candidate. Oh, incidentally, the video doesn't quite go the way he describes it. I believe we talked about it yesterday. The rioters who have seized the roads and the highway surround his car, begin kicking it, jumping on the hood. The man is rightfully concerned, if not terrified. Incidentally, he takes very special care to not run over people. Very special care. And he didn't run over anybody. That's a guy running for city council, which should be a job about traffic lights, schools, and instead it's about the Arab-Israeli conflict of 3,000 years in the making. Is that the top story from God's perspective? We can't know because God is immense and omniscient and omnipresent. And yet, I think it's an interesting question to ask if we're to think from a kingdom perspective. Someone asked me yesterday, in fact, it was Jeffrey when we were doing our interview for an upcoming podcast AFR is putting out. He asked me about why we call the show A Disciple's View, and I told him because that's what I'd like it to be. I'd like it not to be my view. As disciples of the Lord Jesus, we need to think from a kingdom view, and man, I'm bad at it. Because I can wake up and just dig into the news cycle. And divisive tactics like that, dangerous tactics like that, in a fallen city, and I apologize to the people of Minneapolis, but it is a fallen city, running for city council. With all that and the demands for genocide on college campuses, which are 100% leftist, still Democrats like Congressman Jake Auchincloss deign to lecture Americans about moral compasses.
Some Republicans are furious that he's linking the aid for Ukraine, which has become divisive, to parts of Congress, to the aid for Israel. Just one tweet that popped up from Republican Senator from Ohio, J.D. Vance. He didn't mince any words. He wrote, "I think what the president did is completely disgraceful. If he wants to sell the American people on $60 billion more for Ukraine, he shouldn't use dead Israeli children to do it, calling it disgusting. Is this going to be a problem?"
It's a problem for J.D. Vance, but J.D. Vance has no moral compass. He's somebody who has sold out his own constituents in pursuit of a cult of personality on behalf of Donald Trump.
Okay. I heard a fantastic bit of analysis about why all of a sudden Ukraine is an important partner of ours. It's a scary bit of analysis. Comes from a former military guy. Hey, we had to invest in Ukraine so they could fight Russia, so we can fight Iran without Russia getting involved. Well, why are we fighting Iran when we're funding Iran? Why are we fighting Hamas when we're funding Hamas? Is it because the figurehead was paid to do this? It's an open question, and it's a decent one. Is that the top story from God's perspective? No. The fallen sin nature of man is not the top story. It was first happened in Genesis. Maybe it's this. The Canadian military has banned public prayer in the name of inclusion. Yeah. It's called repressive tolerance. It's a leftist tactic. And it's to be tolerant of only things that tear down a Western democracy. They're doing this so that they can replace it with traditional religion in the many states that they are in. So it's not to be the Christian faith, but others. Is that the top story? No, because God had said many will have their hearts turn cold and will turn away. And he's cautioned us to remain in him, for the Lord Jesus said, "If you remain in me, I will remain in you. If you do not remain in me, I will not remain in you." That entire portion of the Bible is filled with ifs. God doesn't have ifs. He knows how things end, how they began, because he was there before they began. But I had this image of if God was sitting with us and we'd come to him and said, "Father God, the news, the war in the Middle East." "Yes, my child, war in the Middle East, as I said. But Father God, maybe we have hope. There's a new Speaker of the House." Father God might say, "Might. What is the Speaker of the House?" And we might say, "They're banning praying to you in the Canadian military." "Saddens me. Yes, I saw that coming." And Father God might say to us, "Can I tell you something?" "Of course, God. There's a little girl. Her name is Luann. She lives in White Plains, Nebraska. She saw my son's name on a book in a library. She opened it. And she went home and she asked her mom and dad about Jesus. And they had a talk. They said, 'Remember we used to talk about him?' And she said, 'I want to know him.' And so these parents, they took her to church, to one of my churches. And the entire family has been baptized. They've come home. They're here. They know me again." Maybe that's God's top news story. And if that's the case, then what should be our focus? Where should we be placing all of our attention? I think the answer is clear, and it's hard. And yet, as we talk about in the next segment, we are to be in the world and not of it. So let's talk about the world and some other ideas on how we remain in it, but not of it. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I got an interesting note the other day, and I responded in writing, and I thought I would respond here very quick. And it's easy enough to email me. You can go through AFR.net. You can also go to the ToddHermanShow.com, which is incidentally where you find my podcast. Well, you can find my podcast at Apple, iTunes, and Spotify. Easiest thing to do is just subscribe. Then it'll hit your phone every day, listen through Bluetooth when you're not listening to AFR. AFR is the priority here. You can email me there. A woman wrote to me, and I was kind of surprised by this, honestly. Barbara writes, "Dear Todd, I've enjoyed your program for some time since you filled in for Rush Limbaugh, which is why I was shocked to hear that you believe Israelis are some special breed of human who does not need Jesus. I may need to reconsider listening." It is an interesting dynamic of doing radio or podcasting, where sometimes you receive a note, and my instant response to this was a fleshly response of, "Are you kidding? Where in the world did I say that?" And my considered response after praying was, well, this kind lady took the time to write and to express this, and so clearly I've given this impression. So to clear it up, just to be, as the Biden people would say, to be clear, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, are like every person. They need the Lord, Jesus. The sole way, the single way, the only way to God, the only way to a blissful eternity, the only way. Had a discussion this morning that's very much, I think, being in the world but not of it. One of my brothers in my discipleship group this morning asked a question. It's when he first asked it, I thought, oh no, let's not distract ourselves with politics. But he asked a question: why do you think the Jewish people are so often attacked? Why do you think there's so often this call to destroy them? Because he gave historical examples with which I think most of us are familiar. And we talked about this and cycled on it, and then one of our other brothers said, hey, the Jewish people and the Muslim people do not have a belief in the Lord Jesus. They do not have a belief in redemption. They do not have a belief in the forgiveness offered through the Lord Jesus. That in some ways, they're still operating on a world where your job is to serve your God by crushing your enemies. Now, that's not a statement to say that Israel is the aggressor in this. I think Hamas is genocidal. I don't think so. They are. I don't think the country of Israel is genocidal. It's a fallen country. I don't think it's genocidal. I'm sure there's people who disagree. But to not have the knowledge, and more important than the knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus and of his modeling and what the New Testament means, and to not have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then how do you have the fruit of the Spirit? You don't. And this being in the world but not of it, I've worked or allowed God to work in something that works for me. Because I have to tell you, I can still rile up a pretty good bit of anger. And anger is one of my favorite sins. I hate it, but it still bubbles up. So when I read about in the Senate of the United States, their warning of crime on Capitol Hill, as a string of lawmakers and staff have been robbed and had their cars stolen, carjacked. The sergeant-at-arms has offered tips for those who may be confronted by a carjacker with a weapon, and the tip is, give them your car. And I read this and say, why are you now bringing this to our attention? Why now?
Want to know why? Because now it's their world. There was always, from what I understand, I lived in D.C. a very short time, but from what I understand, there was always an unspoken rule. You don't carjack in that neighborhood. You don't go rob people in that neighborhood. You keep that stuff over here. You take the tourists off who end up going out of bounds. You can go to Georgetown, but you don't go to the Capitol. You don't go to Constitution Avenue. You don't go to areas around Longfellow and the Senate office buildings. No, that's you keep it over there in their neighborhood across the border. Oh, like the border of Gaza and Israel. Do it over there. It made it into their world. Their staffers and office holders, well, gosh, now this has become quite serious because they live in their world and are of their world. So they're legitimately afraid. Okay, how long have residents of DC had to deal with this because it was done in their part of the world? We're all in one world. We know this. So from a perspective of being in it but not of it, I have been just so touched by the Holy Spirit and viewing people as captives. I know I've mentioned this before, but when I read about crime and people doing horrible things, there was just, I think we mentioned the other day that a young man decided to brutally torture a developmentally disabled young man, 18, did it on camera. He's been released after I think 6 years. Completely race-based crime. I can look at that. There comes that anger. There comes that rage. And then I have to look and say, he's a captive. Likewise, and this is where it gets much more difficult for me. It's actually easier for me to look at someone who's committed a crime like that that is so sick and so brazen and so hate-filled and say, they're captured. Lord, free that captive, and to say, well, praise God that I am not that way. I have my own issues. I have my own sin. Praise God, that's not one of them, that I haven't harmed a human being like that way. You know where it's harder for me? It's harder with senators and congressmen and prime ministers, because there's that whole thing that they should know better. But why? They're just as broken. Their suits look better. In fact, they have suits. Their educations are longer. Their curriculum vitals are impressive. I mean, they're so impressive. Some of them have dual degrees. Yeah, God laughs at our wisdom. So for me, it's much more difficult, particularly because they should know better. Washington, D.C. didn't slip into a crime-ridden, H-E double hockey stick hole. That didn't happen in Seattle passively. Oh, goodness, we forgot how to enforce the law. Same with San Francisco and all these other cities that are captured. None of it happened because people forgot how to enforce the law. Oh, that's right. We forgot that when you let criminals do whatever they want, they're going to do whatever they want. Dang it. Now that we remember, we can do better. They didn't forget that when you welcome drug cartels to your city, they're going to come in. Oh, golly, that slipped our notice. So for me, it's harder to view them as spiritual captives, even though intellectually I know they are. It's harder for me to have a heart of forgiveness and prayers for them that they would be freed from their spiritual captivity. But then that makes me a captive to my need to have, well, not revenge, but to rhetorically, not physically, but to rhetorically shake them by the shoulders and say, you know this is happening on purpose, right? Honestly, I don't know how many more people who have seen countries crushed by cultural revolutions need to warn us before the Republican Party will awaken and admit that America is under attack. This is El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, with Tucker Carlson.
The demise of the U.S. has to come from within. Right? The enemies have to be inside, not really outside. No external enemy can cause so much damage as internal is an internal operation. And you're here, and you're watching internal operations here. You can see them in cities that were pristinely beautiful 30 years ago are wastelands right now. You would see people, I mean, I'm from El Salvador, third world country in Central America, and myself, I can see cities here and say, I want to live here.
And he went on to say, it's happening so fast and eroding so fast, this has to be by design. It is by design. And so rhetorically speaking, I want to shake them. If I'm honest, from a fleshly perspective, yeah, I want to grab them by the shoulders and shake them awake. But we can't. There's our part, their part, and God's part. But it's not just us. Acid attacks in London have risen by 45% in just the past year, and women are also at greater risk, of course. Why? Did British men suddenly say, hey, let's pour acid on our wives if they disagree with us, if they're unfaithful, if they're lazy? Let's pour acid on them if they dress in a way that we think is unbefitting. Is there a part of that world where that had been commonplace, relatively speaking, before now? Yeah, there is a part of the world. Afghanistan, that happened quite a bit. The French are saying we have to deport people more and more faster, more and more often. Well, then there's this. This just came out from the Daily Caller. It's an exclusive story. Just now came out. Federal border authorities apprehending Palestinian migrants crossing into the U.S. illegally are counting them as other nationalities, according to the former chief of Border Patrol and a current agency official who's familiar with the process. In addition to the current and former agency officials that confirm Palestinians aren't classified as such when they're apprehended and processed at the border, the DCNF, a Daily Caller News Foundation, obtained screenshots of Border Patrol's internal system showing that Palestine is not a category and that searching for it results in no matches. Federal intelligence officials have warned that Palestinian terrorists could be crossing the southern border to be on the lookout for them. Well, how would we be on the lookout for them, since so commonly people throw away their passports when they come across, and apparently we've made the decision to miscategorize them? Does that make you angry? Me, it does. How do you handle that? How do you have righteous anger, because we can, and yet not hate people who would lie to us that way? It's about, for me, remembering the spiritual captivity. It's also, though, this. We have a base, and cultural revolutionaries understand very, very well our base. They have talked about it for 50 or 60 years. You can't take America down from the top. It has to be bottom up. So we talked in the last segment about God's top news story, imagining that God reads news. He doesn't. He doesn't need to. He knows what's happening, what will happen, what has happened, and always and forever has existed. But we just did this imagination. What would be the top news story? I opine that it's the prodigals coming home. That's what excites God. If we think about division from within, and we think about how our cities are being attacked, let's take that from one level of the city. Let's just take it down to our neighborhoods. From a city to a neighborhood. What are we doing within our neighborhoods to become indivisible? What are we doing so that it's harder for the enemy to divide us? I have a neighbor. She lives down the street. She is an unbelievably energetic and absolutely lovely woman. I think it's fair to say a lot older than me. She and her husband are dear, dear people. One day, I had the honor of going down to shovel her driveway for her. We do live up in the mountains, and we got snow, probably 2 or 3 feet of snow every other day for about 14 days. So I was down there a lot. And one day, she came up to me, and we were talking, and her husband popped out of the door. He's not well, so he stays inside, but he popped out. He said, Todd, you're Todd Herman. I said, yes. I am such a fool. I never realized. You're the talk show host, podcaster. Yes, I am. I've listened to you for almost a decade. Why didn't you tell us? Well, I'd rather be your neighbor. So he is quite conservative. Both of them are Christian, Catholic. And she looked at me and she said, I'm glad I didn't know. I said, why? She said, I would have judged you. Unlike my husband, I'm really liberal. But I'll always know you as the guy who comes down and shovels our walk. And I said, and dear friends, that will never change. As the enemy seeks to divide with the Arab-Israeli conflict, with gender, with abortion, with crime in the cities, I think it's ever more incumbent upon us to beg God for us to disappear and his face to shine through us. And that starts in our living rooms. And it starts as we read to our kids and our grandkids and with the people with whom we interact every day. Speaking to myself, because I'm most guilty of forgetting to do that, this is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. A friend who lives in North Idaho, I want you to meet. I think we'll have him on the program. He runs a recording studio here. I'm building a television studio. God's gifted us with some resources to do that. And building this television studio. And it's to take our podcast to video. And he produces some pretty big name bands come to North Idaho to work at his facility. And really unique sounds that he's able to create because of the size of the building. And he was gifted to find this building that used to be grain storage for the entire North Idaho area. So it has these thick walls and it just pristine sound. And Dave's done a lot of work on putting... Not echo devices, but sound abatement devices and just interesting sound angles. Everyone who goes to produce there, the engineer is always thrilled. And Dave does a lot of the engineering. I mention that because it's really funny when people arrive and learn that he is a quadriplegic and yet still runs his board. It's further interesting when he shares with them that that he was supposed to be dead almost 25 years ago. And yet God has this plan for him. And there are people like that all around us. And it puts a fine point for me on little complaints I have. I'll tell you about one such complaint I had that just put me in a state of self-pity and even pettiness. And I connected it back to human pride. We'll wrap the show up with that today. There was a time in our country when... we might say, oh, you know, no president would ever use emergency executive powers for bad, but that time is gone, as Rand Paul warns us about the internet kill switch.
Some emergencies have been going on 50 years. They're still on the books. There's actually an emergency power that was given to the FCC in the 1930s that gives the president the power to shut down all communications and control all communications in the U.S. People call it the internet kill switch. It's never been used, and it predates the internet, but people now think in applying it to the internet that a president has the power to shut down the internet. Nobody should have this. Look, I was a supporter of Trump. He shouldn't have it. I'm not a supporter of Biden. He definitely should have. No president of either party should have this kind of power. So we should get rid of these emergency powers, and I'm a sponsor of a bill to get rid of them as well.
There is a phrase that's used in military circles called prepping the environment. that you prep an environment for an invasion, and often that starts with building covert contacts. People will help you. You prep people's minds. I believe there's a mental prepping of the environment with constantly talking about misinformation and disinformation, and it's a threat to our democracy, and it is causing physical danger. I think they may lead up to a time where maybe just before an election, they say, hey, there's too much. We're getting way too much foreign disinformation. We're going to have to shut this down. If you doubt that, know that Google has announced, well, we're to pretend that YouTube and Alphabet, they're a separate country or companies. We're to pretend that. They've announced that they're going to do everything they can to advantage credible news outlets. Well, what do they find credible? Oh, MSNBC. And to disadvantage independent journalism, which is, I didn't intend it to be, but hey, while I bring it up, another great reason why we so value your financial support, because it makes this very, very difficult to cancel. But don't worry. When they decide to use that kill switch, if they do, it will be because they have given it a very, very thorough backing, vetting. And it will only be for the best reasons because, of course, they're the best and the brightest. Speaking of them, on this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
I do pray for his soul, but I get angry at his flesh quite a bit. I want to just say that when a politician comes out and says something this clear and takes this strong of a stance, I think we should honor it. Because there's something in politics sometimes people just want to ride the fence. And with the lawsuits proceeding against Trump and the indictments, some 500 now, the Georgia case, of course, his former attorney, John Eastman, may be disbarred because he had the audacity to provide his client legal advice that, based upon his opinion and a preponderance of the evidence, there was massive fraud in Georgia. I agree, there was massive fraud. They are facing troubles. Well, so it makes it a risk for a politician to come out and state something so clearly. Hakeem Jeffries, who runs the Democrat side of the House, wrote, and this is a little while back, "The more we learn about the 2016 election, the more illegitimate it becomes. America deserves to know whether we have a fake," all cap, he wrote, "fake," all caps, "president in the Oval Office. Hashtag Russian interference." That's encouraging. I mean, I don't agree, but at least he flat out will not stomach people questioning our elections. Well, except later. He does. October 14th, 2022. About a year ago. This same Hakeem Jeffries wrote, "We will never bend the knee to the election deniers who poison our democracy. From election denier to one who will never bend the knee to election deniers." That's quite a transformation. I wonder if there's a reason for that. Maybe he had a mountaintop experience. The spokeslier for the White House is our second story in the Tower of Babbling. The spokeslier for the White House has a fascinating response to a question about the obvious anti-Semitism on college campuses.
"His level of concern right now about the potential rise of anti-Semitism in light of everything that's going on in Israel."
"So a couple of things. We have not seen any credible threats. I know there's been always questions about credible threats. Just want to make sure that that's out there. But look, Muslim and those perceived to be Muslim have endured a disproportionate number of hate-fueled attacks. And certainly President Biden understands that many of our Muslim, Arab Americans and Palestinian American loved ones and neighbors are worried about the hate being directed."
Huh. I could have sworn
the question was about anti-Semitism. And she touched ever so lightly on that. She put her finger there, and then she started to talk about anti-Islamic attacks. No credible threats other than entire college campuses demanding the genocide of the Jewish people, but no credible threats. Well, I mean, there are teachers who have posted online saying, I'm going to dox the home addresses of Jewish kids so that they can be visited upon, but no credible threats. And then she gets straight into Islamophobia. Want to know why? Well, because it was written down. That woman has her job because she identifies as black and somehow is determined she's a woman. That's full stop why she has her job. Her job is to read things from a notebook. That's why. I don't think it's a great mystery. Last story in the three stories of today's Tower Babbling. He was killed because of a drug deal gone bad, but NBC and People magazine continue to pretend Matthew Shepard was killed for being same-sex attracted.
In 2009, President Obama, motivated by Matthew's senseless murder, signed the Hate Crimes Prevention Act. But just as they believed real progress was being made, the Shepherds are now watching as scores of anti-LGBTQ measures are being considered and enacted across the country.
What has your reaction been as you've seen this unfold?
This battle is just the last, most vicious attack on the community. They're fighting a losing battle.
There are no anti-LGB so-called T laws being passed anywhere. Anywhere. There is no more empowered citizen group than people like men who pretend to be women. Have a special class of rights, including being able to force some people to involve themselves to endorse their delusions. There are laws for common sense. And it's very sad. I can't imagine the pain and the horrific hurt of having a child murdered. But why back it up with a lie? Why not speak about what happened? Matthew Shepard was, according to, well, the facts, involved in a drug deal that went wrong because someone didn't want to pay somebody. It wasn't a hate crime. It was a sin crime. Well, hate is a sin, isn't it, when it's used to kill? And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. On a Disciple's View.
That is a great, great, great pickup. So I mentioned just before this segment began that I struggle with a lot in terms of sin. One of them is sneaky pride. And sometimes God just really has to take me and say, can I show you yourself from inside out? I just want you to review some things. I will defend my addiction to CrossFit this way. It is my golf. It is my hunting. It is my sports watching. It's my man cave. It's all those things for me. I don't do those other things. I really, really enjoy the feeling of I get from incredibly hard workouts and, frankly, the results of being able to do things at my age that I shouldn't be able to do because I've worked very, very hard to achieve a high level of fitness. And it allows me to have fun in ways that I couldn't have fun otherwise. It's not that fun for most people to put on a 45-pound vest and go on a three-and-a-half, four-mile trail run. I love it. It hurts. It's painful. When I get done, I'm gassed, and then I want to do it again the next week. So when I blew up my left shoulder and wasn't able to do what I love for quite a while, that was really hard. And then I began to enjoy the comeback and the challenge of staying fit, though I couldn't use my left arm. And in fact, for about a month, I was told not even to run. I went into the gym knowing, by the way, that I'm going to have surgery on my right shoulder. And by the way, it's not CrossFit, it's genetics. My uncles are sedentary. They both had these rotator cuff surgeries. So I was going into the gym knowing that sometime in December, late December, I'll have a surgery here on this right shoulder. And wouldn't you know it, I felt like I pulled an anchor out of my left shoulder. And that would be the thing that holds it together. Because something in my shoulder wasn't supposed to be where it was. And that hit me really hard. So I've worked with the same coach for over 3.5 years. I've been blessed to get to know her and her husband, and he's a legitimate war hero, and she's a really empathetic, very smart coach. So I just shared, hey, I have to update you. I think I pulled an anchor out of my shoulder. And if that's the case, coach, I'm done. There's no point. I'll just be chasing surgeries at that point. I got teary-eyed. I said, I don't know what I'll do without this. So I'm seeking data and find out what it is. And I'm now convinced that's not the case. But yesterday, that's not where my head was at. So coach had to make some changes on the fly because we were going to do a lot of stuff with the shoulders. And she came up with a smart workout, horrible, awful, just gross, which is bike sprints on these terrible bikes called the Echo Bike. And as we were doing this, she said something. She said, oh, I'm just comparing your time to our mutual friend, Ryan. She also coaches Ryan. I said, am I beating him? He's about 25 years younger than me. She says, yeah, you're beating him, but he's really catching up with you. What? He's closing on you. I said, oh, thanks. I became petulant. Then I actually, like a little kid, said, hey, remember that rowing workout I had you do? She goes, yeah. I go, yeah, my friend Clarissa really killed that, really beat your time. I couldn't believe what a little punk I was. She laughed. She said, it probably wasn't the right day to bring this up, but normally you're happy for Ryan. Normally you like it when your friends succeed. And she said, Todd, you have a huge level of fitness. Ryan is still in a growth stage. Normally you're happy for your friends. Normally I am. I stand convicted of not just pride, but coveting Ryan's youth. And how good it was to have a friend in a godly, subtle way say, bro, he's your friend. Sometimes we forget. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. Because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until God allows us to speak again, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your family. This is the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you.